con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid, hour number two. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking a look at our 7-7 top headlines. We start off in the NBA, where we had a wild finish to game number two of the Western Conference Finals that sees a DeAndre Ayton game-winning dunk give the Phoenix Suns a 2-0 series lead with a 104-103 final.
Big win by the Suns. Take care of your home court. Now as they head back to Staples Center, up 2-0 in this series. But you got to feel bad if you're a Clippers fan, a player, or a backer in this instance, because now you're down 0-2 in the series, and it shouldn't be that way. It should be at least 1-1 heading back to the Staples Center. Great win by the Phoenix Suns, marred, as I like to say, by multiple reviews in the last few minutes. And the question always begs here, Kevin, in this game, do we get an alley-oop dunk as a finish for DeAndre Ayton to be our hero of the night? Or does that turn out just to be some scrambled shot that's heaved up from midcourt and the Clippers win? So aided, as we said, like track, a wind-aided sprint. This one was an aided game here for the Suns. But if you ask them, they'll take it all day long.
Yeah, it's one of those deals where this really should just be, oh, that was the best game of the playoffs, and it was an absolute chore of a watch. Over a half hour to watch the final 90 seconds of that game. Imagine you decided to, like, get on an elliptical. You're like, oh, I'll watch the end of the game. You're absolutely spent by the time that that thing finished. A tough, tough scene out there in Suns Clippers. Sticking, though, with the NBA, the Detroit Pistons, happy days, get the number one overall pick in the NBA draft lottery with the Rockets, Cavs, and Raptors rounding out that top four.
Yeah, some pretty good players in the top five, but obviously the prize in this one here is Cade Cunningham, and he is going to go to the Pistons. And I got to say, you know, it's very refreshing in the NBA. They know who they're going to take. They basically said as much. In the NFL, Kevin, when we try to equate it to different sports, like, hey, Trevor Lawrence is the best player, but we're going to wait all the way through on the clock, and we're going to keep everybody in suspense here. It's Cade Cunningham. Let's get it done. Show the jersey. Put Cunningham on the back of a Pistons jersey. We're going to move on. He's going to be a pretty good player for a long time in the league, as we anticipate here, Kevin.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He will be booked at a very likely unbettable number to be the first overall pick. Rightfully so. He can start shopping for property in Detroit as of yesterday. No doubt about it. One more basketball headline here. The Milwaukee Bucks, who will be in action tonight. We'll talk about their game against the Atlanta Hawks. See their two stars, or two of their stars, I should say, commit to Team USA. Both Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday joining Donnie, what has continued to develop into quite the star-studded cast.
Yep, each and every day, more and more pieces getting added to USA Basketball to go over and play in the Olympics, which is great stuff because each and every day you're fortifying a much better roster here. Now you get two big commitments. We'll see down the line who continues to be added on because it seems like, Kevin, it's a daily occurrence here. But great for us basketball fans, particularly here in the United States. Obviously, that's going to lift us to a pantheon, looking like a gold medal assured now, but also from a world stage. You want to play against the best. This just puts the Olympics at another pedestal now because you have superstars going, which maybe a couple weeks ago were like, man, who's actually going to show up for USA? Are we going to be the favorites to win gold? Now it's assured. They're going to win the gold medal here. It's going to be some pretty fun watching it as well, Kevin.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The also news came that Kevin Love would be joining those group of players with Team USA. It'll be interesting to see what happens, though, with the finals, if they can actually go. But they have made those commitments. Let's bring the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to everybody listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio and all of our radio affiliates. We appreciate you hanging out with us here on this Wednesday morning. Continuing to move through our top headlines, the Montreal Canadiens take Game 5 in Vegas. Donnie, they kind of just look like the better team.
They really do. And I know yesterday we asked the question, are you taking the Vegas Golden Knights at -1.5 because it's too expensive to play just the, you know, regular money line in the game? I said no, because if you looked at this entire series, Kevin, all the way through, outside of game one, Montreal has been the better team. Now up 3-2 in the series, something I never expected. Getting a chance to clinch going back to Montreal. Those fans should be very, very excited for this one. But an amazing performance, 4-1, the complete opposite of what we saw from the Islanders going on the road to play the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm-hmm. Now you get the Canadiens going on the road. When you have a really good goalie, that's half the battle in hockey. Carey Price is doing that for the Canadiens.
No doubt Islanders and Lightning will be in action tonight. Major League Baseball offering some headlines as well, including baseball's number one overall prospect going yard in his big league debut, Wander Franco, with a three-run shot for the Tampa Bay Rays, though not enough as they drop their seventh straight game.
Yeah, if we had a victory here by the Rays, Kevin, maybe in one of the newspapers down in Tampa, the headline would read, "Isn't he wonderful?" But a great performance here by a rookie. They still ended up losing. They can't stop the losing streak. Let's see if they can come back tonight and do it. I thought last night was the night. You get the boost from the young rookie, you get five runs, still come away with a loss. Tampa Bay scratching their head right now. How do they get out of this rut?
Franco-ly not enough. Is that all right? All right, I'll leave that to Donnie. Scherzer versus Girardi, also a headline in Major League Baseball. Joe Girardi says, check Max. Max is like, why? Other than my history of cheating like all the other pitchers, would you ever call me out like this? This is one of Donnie's favorite baseball stories of the year.
I love it. And the fighting city of Philadelphia here would be great. And I wasn't at Citizens Bank Ballpark yesterday, but boy, if I was, if they played the ding, ding, ding once this happened, that would have been tremendous stuff from the ballpark. But it looks like we have a nice little rivalry building between Scherzer and Joe Girardi.
Yeah, really interesting stuff in Major League Baseball. Last headline, England clinching the top of Group D with their victory yesterday. One more day left of the group stage at Euro 2020. Come on back. We'll talk about today's baseball board.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Time to look at today's Major League Baseball board, see if there's anything that catches our eye. And I got to start with this game here between the Dodgers and the Padres. I am very surprised by this line here. Trevor Bauer versus Musgrove. The Dodgers on a two-game losing streak are dogs for the second time in three games after going 150 consecutive as favorites. Donnie, what do you make here? A total checking in at this game for 7.5.
Baffled by the number yesterday as well, and the odds makers were right. I thought Clayton Kershaw should have been the favorite in that game. I thought the Dodgers should have won that game. They did. Second straight night they didn't perform. So now you go to yet another ace that seems like they roll out each and every night for the Dodgers. But you're going up against a pretty good pitcher here in Joe Musgrove. But it's the same feelings that I have once again, because let's just take the pitchers out of the equation, Kevin. When you take a look at the lineups here, the Dodgers usually mash right-handed pitching. But as I said again, Musgrove is a quality pitcher. If we look at one through eight anticipated in the lineup for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Just about everybody is a plus hitter. I like to use weighted on base averages, and I always try to explain it here to the people that are new to some of these numbers. A weighted on base average takes the strength of the at bat, and not just if you got a base hit, what type of base hit, if you got some power out of that base hit, and a 325 to 320 is about the major league average. And in the lineup tonight, Kevin, seven of the eight batters anticipated in are above the Major League Baseball average. So if we try to equate that over to the Padres, who don't have that tonight, to me, the Dodgers are the play again. But boy, scratching my head here, Kevin, over the past two nights where the Dodgers haven't won a game against the Padres, the same type of setup again. Am I going to slip on the banana peel? I still think the Dodgers are the better team. I would back them tonight. You're getting a very cheap number on Bauer, but you could have said that the past two nights here.
It's one of those lines that's a little unsettling. This is true of all sports. Whether when you're breaking down an NFL game, why are they only laying 2.5? It should be above a field goal. You know what I mean? Like in the NBA, man, that team's laying 3. I thought it'd be 6. The Dodgers feel like they will be popular tonight. As good as Musgrove has been, Bauer is a significantly more popular name. The Dodgers now to avoid a sweep at the hand of this team at even money. It's like I feel like I love it. Donnie likes it. I have a feeling that today you check in, more people than not will say, yeah, I think tonight's a good spot to back the Dodgers. And it's one of those deals. You just decide whether or not you want to go kind of swinging with the ship there. Very, very surprising that they are checking in tonight at an even price. Speaking, though, of a game, Donnie, under a similar context, was yesterday's game between the White Sox and the Pirates. That was a game that yesterday we kind of quickly acknowledged. You know, Giolito on the mound, coming off of the four-game sweep at the hand of the Astros, up against the lefty. It felt like the kind of spot that they would bounce back. Well, they go out there, only play 3 runs, under their team total, lose the game outright, never even get home on the run line, parlays, whatever it is. They check in tonight, Cease versus DeJong, that very same minus 172 money line number here against Pittsburgh. How many times can we run up against the wall saying, well, the White Sox aren't going to lose again?
Yeah, it seems that way, right? Because you have two teams, and we're talking about Tampa Bay in that similar boat, as you said. This is a 12:35 start, which is always interesting to me because it gets these major league players a little bit out of their body clocks. But Cease is the better pitcher on the mound today versus DeJong. If we take a look at the matchups, but again, it's not a great matchup because the White Sox haven't been hitting like we anticipated them to actually hit. Do I think they should win the game? Absolutely, I do. They are the better pedigree team. But we take a look at this Pittsburgh lineup going against Cease today. It's getting better and better each and every day versus right-handed pitching. Let's just take a look at the anticipated lineup today for this 12:30 start. Frazier out of the leadoff position, a weighted on base average of 365. Hayes, 353. Reynolds, 360. Colin Moran, 369. Now, the bottom of the lineup leaves a lot to be desired, but each and every day I'm finding a little bit more value here on the Pittsburgh Pirates as they stay healthy in that 1-8. Now, you guys know me. I'm a big team total guy. I'm a big overbacker. So whether or not the Pittsburgh Pirates get good pitching doesn't really matter to me. It's just a matter of how that lineup presents itself against another pitcher. Cease and the White Sox should win this game, Kevin. But then again, last night, the White Sox should have won that game and actually fought back to take a 3-2 lead, where your advantage now comes into the bullpen. They let that game slip away. Now you have that quick turnaround here. Maybe the Pittsburgh Pirates, another active dog today early in the afternoon.
There's a couple of spots, again, just on this board. There's no way you lose again bets here. The Dodgers, right? The White Sox, the Rays, minus 148 against the Boston Red Sox, who will have Garrett Richards on the mound, looking to avoid their eighth consecutive loss. 0-4 early season now, the Rays against this Red Sox team here. The total is 8.5 after a big offensive game yesterday from those two teams, obviously buoyed by some extra innings action as well. Rich Hill, Garrett Richards. Again, Donnie, this is the there's no way they lose again special.
You know what's interesting about this game as it matches up here? It's always hard to take a look at the over sometimes, I should say now, down in Tampa. Last night, you got a lot of runs, and maybe that's going to be a trend here that we're not doctoring the baseballs anymore. Garrett Richards, since we started watching the doctoring of the baseballs, he's struggling mightily. Rich Hill, who you know is doctoring a baseball, at least we would think, where you can't just throw 82 miles an hour and get away with it and be a dominant pitcher like he was for most of the season, now being touched up in his last two starts. So I look down at the Trop and I see an 8.5 when typically I would turn my back and say, oh, there's going to be better spots out here today. I think we're going to get some runs in this game because two pitchers that aren't profiling as well now that we're checking baseballs and what you're using. So if that curveball that Rich Hill used is to try to slide off the plate and go from 12 to 6 doesn't break as much and is now winding up on the outer half of the plate as opposed to off the plate, that's going to lead to runs here. An interesting look here. We're still new in this whole doctoring the baseball, who's doing what scenario. But these two guys look like they're right in the crosshairs, Kevin, for maybe doctoring the baseball and now feeling the effects of not being able to do that here. One to watch down in Tampa.
Also, yesterday, I forgot to mention earlier in the show, but we can bring it up now, though we don't have lines for Mets Braves. Marcus Stroman left that game very early injured. And that obviously is always something interesting, you know, on in-play sports tonight. You run to the window, you get a Braves team total. Depending when you got that, you maybe got a winner or a push. It all depends kind of on your number there, but the number did drop low. But the injuries feel like they are really starting to pile up here for this Mets team. Stroman leaving that game with a sore hip. The other day, they lost Lucchese for the season with a tear in his UCL. We've had the setbacks with Syndergaard, DeGrom each and every game. It's a hand, a toe, a shoulder, something with him. The Mets shut out also for the second consecutive day here. Again, Donnie, we don't have lines or anything available for the Mets, but it was a game last night where I was like, how is this team 7 above 500 and kind of comfortably controlling the NL East?
It's amazing, and because you try to look at situations which would give a team a boost, Kevin, for the remainder of the season, and you say most teams, Kevin, trying to weather the storm, I think you would have been happy if the Mets were 5 games under .500 saying, what did you want them to do? They didn't have any players outside of very good starting pitching. They had nothing behind it. But the fact that they're in first place, you're waiting for them to get healthy and move on. But maybe it's one of those seasons where they just don't get healthy. Or is it the Mets training staff being overcautious? Because you're bringing Marcus Stroman out of a game in the early part of the second inning, only through a few pitches here. Which brings up a little bit of bad vibes because I'm a live team totals better, Kevin. And to add on, we called it last night on the show, jump right into a Braves team total over 3. By the third inning, they have 3. I'm sitting back counting my money. You know what the Braves ended up in that game, Kevin? Only with 3 runs. One of the worst pushes you're going to see. I would take it time and time again. But you're right. Getting back to the Mets here, where does it end here? If they continue to get injured, you're not going to be able to keep up this pace the rest of the summer.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one to follow there. We talked the other day about whether the Phillies or potentially the Braves could make a, you know, cut into them. The Nationals are playing some good baseball as well today. Just want to mention Woodruff on the mound for the Brewers, the second favorite to win the NL Cy Young up against the Diamondbacks. Otani versus Gausman and Angels versus Giants is another fun one to follow. We'll come on back and preview the Travelers Championship next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are right back here on the early line. We've got the Travelers Championship coming up this week on the PGA Tour. And we're going to turn it over to Rick Gaiman to start us off with a course preview.
I know it can be hard to focus after a major championship, but the PGA Tour rolls on, this time to Cromwell, Connecticut, for the Travelers Championship. And this is an event that is always highly regarded amongst fans and players. It is why they were able to get 5 of the top 10 players in the world to make the trip across country the week after a major championship to tee it up. TPC River Highlands has played host to this event every year since 1984, and it's one of the more unique courses on the PGA Tour. It's a par 70, only 6,800 yards, and it is a Pete Dye design. It really is one of the handful of courses that does not necessarily require you to be long off the tee. It means that any golfer in this field has a realistic chance of winning. As long as you're playing out of the short grass, you can have a chance to win. There are some holes where water comes into play off the tee, but we have seen historically that this event can turn into a bit of a wedge fest. Those who are going to be able to hit driver, wedge, and make the putt are going to have great success this week. We've seen scorching hot rounds like Jim Furyk's 58, Patrick Cantlay's 60 in 2011, which is still the lowest rounds ever recorded by an amateur. Mackenzie Hughes shot a 60 in the opening round last year, and Dustin Johnson shot a 61 also last year en route to his victory. Should be plenty of scoring, should be plenty of action from a great field at a great course in Connecticut this week.
Great stuff there from Rick to start us off, who we'll go back to in a minute. Donnie, we've had Rick give us these course previews for a long time. I don't ever remember being floored, though, by a portion of his update. Someone shot a 58 in one round here, 12 under the par 70. I mean, what is the winning score, a 30?
That's incredible stuff, because when you hear the 58, it's like, oh, you know, that's most amateurs shoot a 58 on one side of the front or the back nine at this point. Yeah. But that is incredible stuff. The minute I hear sometimes, Kevin, also a shorter golf course out here, you sort of look at those longer hitters, Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, probably going to be factored into it. Obviously, both of those two guys, the favorites here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But you know what was also interesting about that video? He's right here. Usually post week of a, you know, open championship, a major championship, that's where a lot of the guys take off. We see it a lot in the Masters when they head up to Harbortown in South Carolina. There's really not a great field there because people like to decompress and say, all right, just, you know, won the Masters or I lost the Masters. Let's retool for the rest of the season. But the fact they got a lot of top guys to play in this tournament, it's fantastic stuff. And we'll certainly be watching this weekend.
Yeah, it's a strong field there. And you mentioned Bryson DeChambeau, who is the pre-tournament favorite at 12-1. Let's hear what Rick has to say about DeChambeau working into the Travelers Championship.
Bryson DeChambeau is 12-1. He's the favorite to win the Travelers Championship. And this is such an interesting situation because he was in the solo lead at the U.S. Open when he made the turn on Sunday before completely imploding over his next 9 holes and ended up finishing T26. Certainly not the finish that Bryson would have wanted, but outside of those 4 holes, he played great. So maybe his result in the box score, not really indicative of how well that he played. At TPC River Highlands, he has been able to wedge this course to death. He has 3 consecutive top 10 finishes at this course, but I do worry about those really short proximities. He is not very good from inside 100 yards or inside 125 yards. In fact, he ranks outside the top 150 in proximity from those ranges, but anything longer, the ability to hit the ball 200 yards on your approach, he's one of the best in the game. And the front nine with 2 long par threes, a drivable par 4 and a par 5 should set up beautifully for Bryson DeChambeau. I'm much more bullish than I believe a lot of others are going to be about Bryson this week. He seemed to have found something over the course of the weekend at Torrey Pines. I think he brings it to TPC River Highlands and tries to go scorched earth, wedge fest, putt it in as often as you can and try to run away with this tournament. So 12-1 for Bryson DeChambeau is almost a similar number to what he was at the U.S. Open last week. This is a much easier field. I think Bryson is actually a good bet at 12-1 this week.
Really interesting insight there from Rick, and we'll use that to transition into take it or leave it. Donnie, Bryson DeChambeau at 12-1 to win the Travelers Championship. Take it or leave it.
I'm going to leave that one on the table. And the reason being is I do think he has a decided advantage here by the length off the tee on a shorter golf course. That's certainly going to help him out. But also the ability to spray the golf ball left and right and go into the rough. Obviously, it's not going to be as much rough as you usually see in the U.S. Open. But I'm going to take the guy listed second here in odds, 13-1, Dustin Johnson. I'm going to get some good length off the tee, but I do think a better iron player overall and the chops to make some of those big putts. I'm going DJ in this tournament, so I'm going to leave Bryson DeChambeau on the table. I'm going to pick up DJ here, Kevin.
I'm going to leave it and hold firm. FanDuel Sportsbook, give us an odds boost on Bryson paired with either DJ or Brooks, and I will take it. That is the request. Give me Bryson and or Dustin or Brooks, and we are good to go on a nice little odds boost. We will be able to talk about this tournament tomorrow on the show, though it is an early tee time, so potentially that odds boost could come up and be gone before we get to it. If so, we'll tweet about it. I want an odds boost, but I'm very interested in what Rick had to say there about Bryson. I like the idea that he plays a little maybe, you know, angrier, motivated. It always stands out to me, Donnie, when somebody is as bad as Bryson was to finish there at a major and is like, I need to get right back out there on the course.
No, certainly. And it shows that he does want to win. He wants to correct his game. And also it shows, Kevin, some of these golf courses really fit these guys. If you're looking on your calendar before the season starts, you pick and choose the tournaments you want to go to. This isn't on the fly like, you got to convince me to go to this tournament next week. He sees a shorter course that he can dominate. He's going to sign up for it, and we'll see if it plays out this weekend.
Want to keep moving here on Take It or Leave It. Euro 2020 Super Boost, Portugal to win versus France was plus 270, now plus 320. Donnie, take it or leave it.
It's a great boost here. Do we want to cheer on Cristiano Ronaldo? We probably do. But, you know, being a soccer guy over here, Kevin, I'm looking at this game going, France to me is much more the overall team, but the better overall team, and should win this. But that odds boost, so boosted up here into the over 3-1 range, certainly has my mind and attention here. But usually trying to cheer on outside of England in this tournament to score goals, a lot of these games, I really wish they would have posted like, hey, to score 3 or more goals in this game, I'd have been on top of it, watching this game at 3 o'clock today and really getting after it. I'm going to leave this one on the table. And you know me being an odds man, you give me some nice odds, which I just cashed at 370 the other night on the ice. I think we're going to leave this one on the table here, Kevin. I like to cheer on goals. I think this game will have goals. Just not so sure Portugal's going to have more goals than France.
Yeah, France is the tournament favorite. Like, if I like Portugal, plus 270 is enough for me to get in on Portugal. Yeah. It's a leave it for me. I wish it was like Ronaldo or Mbappe to score. Like, you know what I mean? Just like something along those lines. I would have been a little bit more interested, as Donnie said. Portugal, with the way they looked against that German side, I'm not as intrigued there on that odds boost. Though, again, undeniable value. How about the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight, where we have the Islanders and the Lightning facing off in game number 6, the Isles trying to keep their season alive, an elimination game here. Donnie, take it or leave it at plus 128 over 5.5 goals in that game.
I like the over in this one. What's not to like about it? Last game, 8 goals were scored all by the Tampa Bay Lightning on their home ice. Now they shift up to the old barn on Long Island to see if they can extend the series and their season for the Islanders. So, hey, it's a closeout game. They usually play a little bit tighter. These two teams got firepower on both sides. I like it. I'm going to take the over in this game because also this is predicated, Kevin, which hasn't worked out so well in the past. Somebody's going to be pulling their goalie late in this game, and heaven forbid if it's the Islanders that are down 2 goals in the third period, they might be pulling their guy with 5 minutes to go, and we could see an explosion of goals in the third period. I'm taking the over. Let's get it after it. What do you think, Kevin?
Oh, it's an absolute take it. I look forward to betting the over in this game. I understand, like, the Islanders have to do something. The Lightning, though, obviously clicking on all cylinders. I'm keeping fingers crossed here. We get some odds boost action as well. And I'd be remiss if I move past this game, though, without bringing up your guy, Braden Point. Now, Donnie, I know Islanders fan through and through, essentially created the franchise, but also Braden Point to try and score his ninth consecutive game with a goal, plus 154. You think you're going to back your guy Braden Point tonight?
I think we might have to, and it's a pretty good point that you bring up here with the Islanders, Kevin. If you remember, there are still framed photos of Brian Trotsche handing me the cup back in 83 as they clinched one of their four Stanley Cups in a row here. So, I mean, that is floating around the atmosphere here. But if we take a look at this game, I don't know. Eventually, he's going to not score, but it's a hot hand, baby. Let's ride the hot hand tonight. FanDuel Sportsbook, give me odds tonight on a win by Tampa Bay and another goal by Point. And you know this hockey guy is going to be in on that, Kevin.
Yeah, again, Braden Point has just been otherworldly. I think you can maybe balance it by, again, Matthew Barzal, who I believe you scouted for the Islanders and got them to bring on to their team, to score a goal, plus 245 in a big game. I could see Barzal getting in the mix there as well. That's going to be a fun one. We'll be following it, I know for sure, on In Play Sports tonight, this evening. We take a break. We come on back. Let's talk about Bucks Hawks right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Time to talk about Bucks Hawks, the Eastern Conference Finals getting underway. Let us begin. By the way, the line just moved in front of my eyes. We'll talk about it. But I want to start with the series prices here. The Bucks are minus 460 to advance to the NBA Finals, plus 360 on the Hawks. The series spread, 2.5 games. The Bucks to win this in 4 or 5 games is plus 110 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Donnie, anything jumping off of the page here on the series price markets for Bucks Hawks?
It's too expensive. I do think the Milwaukee Bucks do win this series over the Hawks because, again, that's what you're supposed to do as a top-level seed beating a 5 seed, but it seems like, you know, defying the odds all the way along, the Atlanta Hawks not only late in the regular season but also in the playoffs coming in, knocking off the higher seeded Knicks, knocking off the number one overall seed Philadelphia 76ers. But now you have to do it once again and being on the road. And you also say, you know, the series price, again, too high. I don't think the Hawks win, so I'm not interested in taking them. I would probably say if you're going to take the Hawks number, maybe wait a game, because I don't see the Hawks winning this game in Milwaukee tonight. Maybe they can steal a game too where you can get that profit. But again, I don't think they're going to win the series, so I'm really not interested in that. But you are correct here. 7.5s moving to 8.5s for the game overall tonight. Yeah. And I sort of agree with it here. But then again, Hawks, a very scrappy team, particularly on the road. You saw it where they're going up to the Garden and taking care of the Knicks. You saw one of the better home court advantages in basketball, the Philadelphia 76ers, with a packed house, and they handled their business time and time again. So betting against them, not always great. The only question is in this game is, are they going to keep it close enough to cover that line as well?
The Hawks have been phenomenal on the road in this postseason. They went out there and took 2 out of 3 in the Garden and 3 out of 4 in Philadelphia. That is wildly impressive. Interesting, though, they play a Milwaukee team that is the only unbeaten home team left in the playoffs. It's odd, because I'm not sure I am still 100% certain that Milwaukee will be moving past Atlanta in this series. I am, though, tempted on the Bucks minus 2.5 games because they have protected home court, and we have seen Atlanta give up games in their building. I'll be interested in how numbers move off of the first game for the series prices. I don't want to grab anything just yet. I want to get a game under the belt here of Bucks Hawks. Now, as you mentioned, Donnie, this game one line is moving in the direction of Milwaukee up to 8. and a half points here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. A total at 226. What do you make of that 8.5-point spread here that Milwaukee is laying?
Watching the Atlanta Hawks, Kevin, over the first two series, I still want to take the Atlanta Hawks with the 8.5 because they have shown a propensity to be scrappy and also being down a lot of points and able to close that gap late. When you have guys like, you know, Trae Young that are able to close the door and don't mind shooting from 40 feet if the shot is wide open, you get some pretty good looks at the rim and you can come back late because it's not about winning the game to us gamblers most times. It's about who's going to cover the number. Is it more likely to me, Kevin, that, you know, a 15-point win by the Bucks or an Atlanta Hawks victory? I probably would actually say an Atlanta Hawks victory is probably more likely than getting beat by 15 points. Is this one of those games where the Hawks are still a young team and say, whoo, man, we're still celebrating, we have that afterglow beating the Philadelphia 76ers, and it's only game one, we'll let this game slip by? I don't think so. But when I look at the total itself, 226, I do think we get a more open pace than what we saw in the Philadelphia 76ers-Atlanta Hawks series late in those games, because the one thing we do know for sure, the Milwaukee Bucks, in the last 4 to 5 minutes of the game, they're not going to shy away. Jrue Holiday's not going to shy away from shooting threes. Chris Middleton's not going to shy away and not want the ball shooting threes. Giannis is going to say, hey, I'll take my 13 seconds at the line, but you know what? I'm going to get to the line, and I don't mind being there. I see some points in this game, but that is going to be predicated on the Atlanta Hawks answering the bell in this one and getting to at least 100 points in this game, and I think they can do it. So I think the over is a better play for me than the side itself so far here, Kevin.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the over is the way to play this. I have done this 7 straight games, if not more, on, oh, Milwaukee's going to have a game where they score 130. It's coming. It has to. It just has to. And I even, it's so crazy because Milwaukee has been very good on the defensive side of the ball during this postseason. But Atlanta went out there, played a Knicks team that had the 4th best defense in the league, the Sixers that had the 2nd best defense in the league. It's the first game of the series. Maybe just a little bit more freedom out there for ATL. I think this is a game where the 226 to me, I think it's a fair number. I just like it to go over the number. I don't want to say it looks light where, oh, it should be 230 or, you know, 235. It's nothing like that. I just think it's a good game to back the over here. I am not tempted to lay 8.5 points really with the Bucks. That's a very strong Milwaukee line, certainly. But, again, Atlanta's won the first two games of each of their series as well. There's some interesting numbers there that say, oh, maybe the Hawks could go out there and steal this game. I actually think the Hawks could go out there and steal this game. Like, again, like, we're going to follow this tonight very closely on In Play Sports tonight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Sports Grid Radio, myself and Donnie. This isn't a game where, oh, the Hawks are up 5 and I'm running to the window on Milwaukee. That could change, obviously, watching it play out. I think Atlanta is live in this game, but I just think the total's the safest way to play it as we start to feel the series out a little bit more, Donnie.
Yeah, we'll see. And it's all going to be predicated on the three-point shot. And I know I don't say that because we like to build out three-point props, but that's the way the NBA goes. If you're taking a look at a team, and I like to always get back to the basis, that the bench players play better at home. So maybe we get a big night out of Bryn Forbes, who tends to have big games, then disappear for 3 or 4 games where he barely plays or even shoots three-point shots. But the one thing you've brought up time and time again is Chris Middleton at home and his ability to get a volume from the three-point line and make a good amount of those shots. And it all is predicated tonight. If we look at the 226, that's a Hawks number. The Hawks need to score tonight. Trae Young can't go 5 of 26 from the field and expect them to hang around, let alone win the game. He's got to come up big. 4 for 8 from three-point range. You also get Bogdanovich, who knows if he's going to be healthy on that knee issue that he has. He's got to be healthy, and he's got to sink some threes. And as well as Kevin Huerter. You can't have 27 points, Kevin, then shrink back and do your normal 8 points in this game and expect the victory. Those guys have to play extremely well in this one to get out, but I do think there is going to be some three-point opportunities in this game. It's just a matter not if they go down.
I want to talk about some of the player props for sure, and I'll tell you one here. I don't know if this will be a popular play. I want Giannis under points. It's 33.5. I think this number is entirely based on what he did against Brooklyn, which you might say, well, what else are they supposed to base it on? The thing is, what he did against Brooklyn was entirely unsurprising to me. He averaged almost 40 a game against Brooklyn during the regular season. He was always going to dominate that team in that series, at least from a scoring angle. I think this number is booked in such a way that reflects everything he did against Brooklyn. Three regular season games against the Hawks, 24.3 points per game. You saw it against Miami. He never got over this number. I think what he did against Brooklyn is a lot more to do about Brooklyn than Giannis. I like Giannis's under 33.5 points.
It's a good point you bring up on that one. I mean, he does have a tendency to go off. Do you need him to go off, Kevin? Are they going to be up late where he doesn't need to crash into the basket and add a couple points from the free throw line? We'll see if that adds up. Some of the bigger player performance doubles, obviously, coming from the Atlanta Hawks because they're the decided underdog in this game. But there's two of them that are sticking out here. So if you take a look at your angle on Giannis here, take a look at some of the other guys in the starting lineup that are getting some play. Because P.J. Tucker has two of these doubles props, which are interesting. P.J. Tucker to score six or more points and the Bucks to win, that's 2-1. P.J. Tucker, 6-plus rebounds and a Milwaukee win, that's plus 240. If we're looking at just those two and you just have to separate it, you can only choose one here. It sounds so low, but which one would you actually think has the better value? A couple missed shots, he's scrappy, he gets some boards, he gets the six, or does he lay a ball underneath the rim up? That's 2 points. Does he get fouled in transition when they're already in the bonus? That's 4 points. Does he hit a three ball from the corner? That's 7 points. It sounds so easy, but yet both of these should be able to hit. But I don't know which one I would want to decide on. It almost seems like the rebounds should be easier, but then P.J. Tucker knocking down a three ball in the first 3 minutes of the game, like, oh, it was so easy, Kevin. Why didn't I go with the points route?
I think the points one's actually really interesting. So he's actually had a game where he had 7 rebounds, a game where he had 8 during this postseason. That's all. Now, he's not been blowing through points props in any measure. He had multiple games of 0 against Brooklyn, but he's had 3 games where he's been able to get 6 or more points. He's had games where he's actually been able to get to double digits. Like, the thing about PJ Tucker is he almost exclusively shoots corner threes. I just need 2 makes from PJ Tucker in that perspective. Now, the interesting thing would be, is there a player performance double on PJ to make 2+3s and them to win this game? Or can we parlay that on the same game parlay? Like, what's PJ Tucker to make 2 threes here? Let's quickly pull this up.
Yeah, I don't see it here. Yeah, I don't see it on the FanDuel Sportsbook because I know they have them going down. Oh, there is one. So if he makes 2 threes, it's plus 280 and a winner just to make,
Just to make 2 threes is plus 280. Him to make 2 threes and the Bucks to win is plus 340.
Oh.
Big night
that's
for
not
PJ.
A bad one.
It's not even
that
a big night.
Not a bad one tonight. Yeah.
That's a really interesting player performance. Basically created double there on PJ Tucker. Is there anyone tonight, Donnie, you think on the Atlanta side you'll be interested in?
It's kind of, I still want, the big guys, as we like to say, need to shine. Like, Trae Young is going to get a lot of volume tonight. Yep. So his 3-point, prop is probably the one that I'm looking forward to the most in this one. But you could take a look at some of the dirty work and even the double-double performances. I'm really not looking towards Atlanta because in the double-double performances, what do you have to have? An Atlanta win. So if I don't think Atlanta's going to win, looking at Kevin Huerter to score 15-plus points is an 8-1. So obviously, if Huerter gets 15-plus points, that's to say he gets in the 20s, they probably have a chance at a victory. But, if I would feel better if this was like, hey, Atlanta's only a 3-point dog or 4-point dog at this point. I actually felt better with Atlanta going up against the 76ers than I do feeling going up against the Milwaukee Bucks because the Bucks have just a little bit more firepower. As the day moves on, I'm sure something is going to pique my interest here. But right now, I'm pretty much centered on the Bucks and their double props and also obviously some 3-point props a little bit later today as well.
Yeah, I'll be interested in a newly crowned megastar, Kevin Huerter, and his number being offered at 12.5, not being able to pick on Seth Curry anymore, although maybe our boy Bryn Forbes can make a return to the court. Okay. But he did have over 12.5 in 4 of the 7 games against the Sixers. That'll be a good one, I think, to follow here. 12.5 is the number on Huerter. That's not too bad. Just want to quickly finish things off by mentioning today's Euro action. 4-game board, final stage of the group stage here. Then we will have our round of 16 set up. Sweden and Poland getting involved there, very close lines, as well as Spain and Slovakia looking to finish out that group. Spain, a very short -600 favorite on a triple money line. France, Portugal, +110. on that French side as they are trying to finish atop of that group. Germany, minus 650 to beat Hungary. A lot of good action there today on Euro 2020. A lot of good action today in the world of sports, which we've covered here on the Early Line. The morning after, we'll be covering it as well, which is why Ariel Epstein joins Donnie next to let you know what's coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment on a Wednesday for the Early Line. A lot of topics that we hit and covered. Major League Baseball, who's cheating, who's not cheating. At least the managers are starting to call these pitchers out. And we also had a game last night in the NBA that seemed to went on forever to at least complete there in the fourth quarter. But we are going to turn it over to the morning after here. Three action-packed hours of information with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. Ariel! The show today, what are we talking about? What guests do we have? What are we doing?
We're hoping the show doesn't feel as long as last night's NBA game. Last night in the final, 3 minutes of the game, it took 33 minutes. It was ridiculous. Anyway, we hope the morning after goes a lot smoother, a lot quicker, and not as many reviews. We have so many guests, as always, Donnie, and we're going to talk about not just the main sports, even though we have James Young coming on, former women's basketball coach at the college level. He'll help us break down a lot of those different NBA games and recapping them. We also have Pam Maldonado of Oddchart coming in. Wimbledon starting in just a couple of weeks. You got to get it ready. There's going to be line movement. There's no Rafael Nadal. How has the lines moved since then? It's weird. I come on here every so often, and I feel I've spoken about tennis more here than I have in multiple parts of my show. It just gets me excited that we have all these Grand Slams coming up and huge events in the summer.
Absolutely. A lot of big stuff. And as I always say, money never sleeps. So you always want to get the best odds possible here at the soonest moments. But taking a look here tonight, the Hawks and the Bucks are going to take the court Eastern Conference Finals. And here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, that line has moved from 7.5 now up to 8.5. So a decided favorite on the Bucks. Any early thoughts from your angles here, Ariel? Maybe what we can expect tonight. The Hawks play well on the road. Does that continue?
It's a little bit of a fishy line too, Donnie, because it's not majority of the action backing the Bucks. In fact, the Hawks are pretty favorable public dogs right now, getting about 55% of the action, close to even 60% of the action. For all my best bets for tonight's slate of games, just wait until the morning after coming up next.
There you go. Stay tuned. Ariel Epstein, Ben Stevens got you covered right here on the Sports Grid Network with the morning after. We are out of here on the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Donnie Wrightside. See you tomorrow.
Sports info
is everywhere.
We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.